hearts. Sharp swords with handle art to spar trolls and charge tolls to cross roads. Where bandits are catacombs and giant doors. Protect the chest and store some legendary items with the dragon bones and iron.
It's horse. A grand theft of Elder Scrolls. Simon's quest with Toe and Earl. Rocket shoes to Everclue. Easter eggs and gaming news. The POTUS need some bad dudes to crash your crew like Bandicoot. All shit a gaming and glitch control issues. Control issues.
Yes, yes, y'all.
Yes, y'all. Yes, y'all.
Well, this is Control Issues. I am the AMC.
And this is A-Dub. You can find us at control-issues.com. You can also go to your podcast provider, whoever that may be. Look for Control Issues, download it, subscribe to it, rate it, review it. Head on over to twitch.tv/controlissuespod, where we put up gameplay videos for your viewing pleasure. And we're also over on Spotify, so spin it up. Let's I don't know. I'm trying to come up with something to say here. So it's workshop. This is something that rolls off the tongue a little smoother. Yeah, just get like you it. Through the whole thing. What else we got going on? Let us know how you're feeling. Let us know what's in your hearts and on your minds. ControlIssuesPod@gmail.com, which is the same. ControlIssuesPod is the handle on the Blue Sky. So you go over there and tell us how you think things are going down. AMC, how you living?
Been good, A-Dub. It's good to be back. Took 1 week off. Feels like it was longer. I don't know why. But yeah, it was good. We took last week off. You had birthday stuff. I had Theo's school. They had a charity walk, and so we signed up for that. You sign up, you do the walk, and then the school gets more money from the businesses that want to be seen and heard around the city. So yeah, we did that. It was cool. It was like right on the beach, so it was nice and scenic. We didn't even do the walk really though. We signed up, and I'm like, I'm in my New Balances, which are my walking shoes, mm-hmm. and then some shorts. I got a tank top on, hat, ready to go for this walk. We get there, and Marissa immediately sees one of Theo's friends like playing in the sand, and she goes, "Oh, hey, look, it's the homie. Like, let's go over there and say what's up." And so I'm like, "All right, cool." We go over. They start playing us in. Next thing you know, we're posted up. we don't do the walk. We just end up playing in the sand the entire morning, which I didn't have an issue with, but I did show up ready to get in like a good nice like couple miles in for the school. But I guess all that matters is that we signed up and we showed up, because then that's how they donate based off of that. So we got to see Theo hang out with his friends and do all of that. But I was definitely like, I went to bed early for this. out of war, showed up in some sandals and in board shorts, like just ready to just chill and hang out at the beach. But it is what it is. It was a good time. It was all for a good cause. Outside of that, I only got in one workout this week, which sucked, because basically work is picking up right now, working on MLB World Series. And so that's and just in general, the MLB postseason is what we've been working on recently. And so because of that, it's every day, and you don't know how many games there are because it's best of seven. So it's you're just kind of coordinating and preparing for the worst, but sometimes getting the best. But these series, we got a couple games seven, so that ends up being the worst because it's just more work. The goal when you're working on these things, if you're not playing in it, the goal is sweep, get it done as fast as possible, so then you have less work to do. I'm sure for the networks and all the people who paid for it, they want it to go as long as possible because that means more advertising dollars. Mm-hmm. But for the people who have to work on it and who don't get commission for those advertising dollars, it just puts it all together. Let's get this shit done as fast as possible. But yeah, as I said, the two championship series in MLB, I believe, went to seven games. At least the Mariners and the fucking Blue Jays, they went seven games. And I think the Dodgers got out there a little quicker. And now we're in the World Series with the Dodgers and the Blue Jays. And so I was rooting for the Blue Jays after game one, even though I'm in LA because they won the first game. Dodgers won game two, tied it up, so now I'm going Dodgers in five. Get it done as fast as possible. But yeah, I don't care. I just want this shit to end so I have less work and I can get my workout at home time back. So yeah, outside of that, I've been also watching Demon Slayer, Hashira arc, finished the Swordsmith arc, which was the shit. Now
Yes.
I'm getting a little more of the details on the Hashiras who are dope in themselves. As I said, I like having those badass mentors that the protagonist eventually has to then surpass. But in the process of surpassing them, you realize how badass they are. And we're also like, you get introduced to the Hashiras early and you just know like, hey, one dude's a snake guy, one person's the love the love breather.
I
But
love her. She is. Because she's incredible,
Yeah, and like
dude.
I like that it's like she eats so much and then they're like they just realize that she is just sturdy as fuck.
Yeah.
She's a lot stronger than what people would expect. Like, oh no, she just has a natural strength to her.
Yeah, she's
Yeah.
hardy.
Yeah. And then you got the stone dude, he's the shit, always crying. Like he'd fuck everybody up if it came down to it. Yeah, so it's great. The turn has kind of happened. The demons were handling business. Now the swordsmith, the Hashiras are stepping their game up, but that also means that the demons will be stepping their game up as well as they see the imbalance starting to show. So I'm really enjoying Demon Slayer. It's like the modern animes. It's definitely one of my favorites, especially now that Attack on Titan's done. So enjoying that. Finished The Small and Mighty, which is a book I was reading on American lesser trailblazers, which is a really good read. Finished that, so now I've moved back into Warhammer. I have my system of I do fantasy and then I jump into nonfiction for a book or two and then I jump into fantasy and the fantasy is always Warhammer. So now I'm in Warhammer Mechanicum, which is in the Horus Heresy saga. The Mechanicum are they're the robots of the Warhammer universe. They're cyborgs, basically half human, half robot, sometimes more robot than human, but they also happen to be the providers of a lot of the technology. And so as the war was breaking out, there was a we got to get control of these robot people because they are going to tip the scales as far as technology goes. And so this book is focusing specifically on their group. They're located on Mars. That's their base of operations. So it'll be interesting because every time I'm reading these books, it's more about the lore than it is necessarily about the story. And through the story, you get the lore. And so it's a twofold thing that I really enjoy in reading these Warhammer books. Yeah, but that's all I got for me, A-Dub. How has your life been for the past 2 weeks?
Not too bad, my good man. The birthday turned out to be one of the better ones I can remember. I went, saw some stand-up comedy. Got to see Ida Rodriguez, Chris Estrada. I mean, he wrote and starred in This Fool on Hulu,
Nice. I didn't know he was a stand-up comic. That's dope.
yeah, stand up. He's funny. He's good. He's got some good stuff going on. So he's on the list now. And Craig Robinson as well, who was
Yes.
interesting to say the least. It looked like
Did he have the piano?
and he
Yeah.
held everybody hostage and was heckling everybody as they were slowly trickling out. There was one moment like he was looking down, and I started getting up, and then he looked up, and I sat back
Yeah.
down. But then I was just like, "Fuck it, he gonna do what he do." So I just got up. Like, it was well after midnight when I got up and bounced. So yeah, man, saw that, and the following day went to Red Lobster with my family
Yes.
in the heart of Inglewood. I've never been that deep in Inglewood.
Is that the only Red Lobster?
One of the few. I think there's like
Yeah.
less than half a dozen or something like that, but it's under new
It
ownership.
would be in Inglewood,
Yeah.
which is great. Yeah, keep
It
going.
felt right.
Yeah,
It felt right. If the
it's
staff, the service, the kids like yelling and running around, it was like, ah, Red Lobster is back, baby.
yes.
And the food was delicious. It's it like as good, if not better than I remember. Oh, those biscuits, those fresh biscuits.
Cheddar Bay
Yeah,
biscuits.
Cheddar Bay biscuits. Why you taking her out for Cheddar Bay biscuits, granddad? Why don't you take the fam out for Cheddar Bay biscuits? Oh man. But yeah, that had some good time there with my family. And then an unexpected thing. I was supposed to meet somebody for the comedy show on Saturday, but they couldn't make it. So their makeup for that was an escape room on Sunday. I had never done an escape room before, so this was a brand new experience. We get there, I'm looking around, just like in the lobby area. It's like, okay, like we're on an odd street. Like we're in this building. It looks interesting. And then we get into the escape room, and magically we're transported to a runaway train with a bomb on it that we have to defuse in an hour.
Nice.
We have to find it and defuse it in an hour. So, we immediately start going to work, and just like my friend, she'd been doing escape rooms before, so she already has like the mind and the approach for that stuff. But for me, it was the video game instincts kicked on AMC. It was amazing. Like I'm hitting every corner. I'm looking at everything. I'm like, ooh, this is interesting, but clearly not something we need to deal with right now. Ooh, that's interesting. Oh, wait a minute. That might relate to this. Oh, let me read that. All right, these are going in order. Let's do that. Let's line these things up. Oh, that reveals a code. Oh, that code might go over here. Dude, we were tearing through it. Like we almost finished it in half the time, but there was one puzzle that was just a little bit confounding until, we eventually got through that and just took the rest out. So successful escape room run for my first time. I'm very proud of that. I believe it was rated medium difficulty, so I want to see what a hard difficulty escape room is like. I
Did you
will
have to cut the cut a wire at the end?
just have to find the code to disarm it.
Okay, all right, sweet.
And it found that, it felt so good.
Yes.
Every time some unconventional solution ended up working, it was like, wait, there was even a part where like we had to put these pretty heavy like wine bottles into these holes, and then we solved another puzzle to turn on these lights, and it had these like fuzzy fruit shapes on it. And then just out of nowhere, my friend was like, wait, maybe we have to smell the bottles or something. And of course, the bottles were heavy because they were made of solid scented wax, and each of them had a different flavor. And it was like, oh wow, I would have never figured that out. So, we were a good team on that. It was awesome. Best birthday ever. I paid the monthly fee at the boxing gym, so now I'm trying to go at least 2 or 3 times a week,
Oh,
maybe
nice. So
four.
you're not doing the
Not
pay
doing
as
the
you
day
go.
rate. No.
That's good. All right.
Yeah, stepping up my commitment, and my physique is changing. Like I might be putting on a little muscle because the number on the scale isn't changing much. However, when I lost the weight initially, like now I'm fitting in different clothes, I'm fitting in different pants, like my belts are tighter, and like all that remained, but my weight went back up. So I'm feeling like, oh, my back or my arms or something, or my legs must have got like a little more mass on them. But yeah, so far going pretty good with that. Just tightening up the outfit, doing a lot of reading about habits and qualities and traits. Just like little bullshit 5 minute internet articles and listicles and things like that. Just passing time. Got to get back to my books, get on that AMC tip. But yeah, man, it's
Kojima. Get back in the mind of Kojima.
I know I gotta finish that book. I love that shit. It was awesome. But yeah, man. That's yeah, just staying in shape. Went to a birthday last night. October people seem to gravitate toward each other. Like when October rolls around, just like all the Libra homies, all the Scorpio homies start coming out the woodwork. All the birthdays. It was a good opportunity to go back to the East Side and hang out in Silver Lake for a little bit. I haven't done that in a very long time. Went to Red Lion, which is a place that I haven't been in a number of years. I mean, the last person I went to Red Line with is no longer with us, and may his soul
Oh,
be at
man.
rest. But yeah, man, it's just going outside, trying to stay active, trying to stay consistent, working, of course, that never changes, and getting some gaming in when I have a chance.
All right, well, are we gonna get right to the gaming, or are we gonna take a little detour
I
first?
think we might have to take a little detour because we got a
Okay.
mailbag AFC.
Oh, okay.
It's a very light mailbag. It's a very familiar mailbag. We got our man Greg in,
Greg
writing
the
in
homie.
again. Greg the homie. Greg the homie, not to be confused with Greg the dude. That's Greg P. But yeah, Greg's writing in email entitled Game Pass Price and the Doom and Doom the Dark Ages. Hey guys. Been an Xbox Live and Game Pass subscriber for a long time now. While I'm disappointed to see the price jump to 30 a month for Ultimate, I think it's a good value if you're able to play a lot of games. Inclusion at day one releases is great, and it's not just limited to first party titles. But I will say it is too much for me to spend based on the amount of time I play on Xbox. I'll be stepping down to the lowest tier or perhaps middle tier. Doom the Dark Ages is one of the titles I've been accessing through Game Pass. Started playing on release. It's fun, but just hasn't hooked me, so I ended up playing a chapter and putting it down for a couple of weeks. I find the chapters to be a bit too long, and I'm only on like chapter 8 of 22 after 9 hours. AMC, I recall you completed the campaign. Does it pick up at some point, or is it pretty even keel? Thanks, Greg.
Interesting. Yeah, so I would say it is pretty even keel. They do vary it up with the so not every level is the same, in that you'll have certain levels where you're Doom guying out there, you got your shotgun, whatever gun you decide to roll with, and you're handling business in the open world like level. But then they do vary it up because they have the mech portions, or just straight up like mech chapters. You're inside the mech, and that has its own like combat feel. And I really enjoyed those levels. And then they also, I believe in this one, they added the dragon. And so you have the dragon levels where you're riding on the dragon's back and you're flying around and you're doing like airship battles and all that stuff. So they vary it up in those ways. But I will say, after a while, like when it was one of the weeks I was talking about, when I was towards the end of Doom the Dark Ages, where I definitely hit a point where I was totally, I found myself trying to 100% every level. And I got to a point where I was like, I now just want to beat the game. So after that, then I just started pushing through the chapters. And if you do that, you're not trying to find every collectible, try to find every gem, all the currencies, and all the, I guess, hidden things within the levels, they actually do breeze by pretty quickly. And so I will say, if you choose at some point to make the choice to just kind of start blowing through the levels, it will fly by. And I will say, it was a more enjoyable experience after I did that. Mainly what I did is I maxed out the super shotgun, and I maxed out the dual plasma rifle. Of course, my daughter's crying right now. I maxed out the dual plasma
She doesn't
rifle.
like your loadout, AMC.
Yeah, exactly. And once I did that, then I would try like the rocket launcher and other weapons to max those out. But I never really caught those, didn't catch on with me. And so once I had my preferred loadout, I did find it kind of a waste of time to really try to find all the different currencies and whatnot. And so, yeah, basically after that's when I started pushing through the chapters, and I felt like the game's pace and all that stuff started to breeze by, and it actually was a more enjoyable experience. So if I could recommend anything, if you are playing it in the completionist route, I would say don't do that, and it will be a lot more of an enjoyable experience.
Hell
That's
yeah.
all I got there. You know what, Dub? Let's take a break, because I know you got. All right, do you have anything else to add? I know you didn't play Doom, but is there any other input, or we just keep it right there?
It's on my wish list, and I guess I don't really have much to add. It's maybe
Have you ever had that experience of going completionist and then realizing like, hey, this is kind of fucking up my enjoyment of the game?
Like not on an enjoyment level, just on a like at some point I question what I'm doing.
Okay.
Why am I doing this to myself? Like because something, all completion, like all 100%, all platinum trophies aren't created equal. Like some are significantly more difficult than others. You know, some developers really want you to get that platinum and to play everything in their game. Other developers want to challenge you and want it to be like a badge of honor. Oftentimes, when I find myself in a situation where I feel like a game just like I haven't gotten it or I'm just not really resonating with it, I usually just push a little further in the story because that'll continue to open up areas to explore, you know, weapons, equipment, other, you know, new enemies with different tactics that might give you the kind of challenge level that you're looking for. It's every time whenever I found myself at a point where it's like, okay, I'm kind of used to what this game is doing right now, it's usually pushing the game forward that introduces more to my experience that gives me a better feeling for the game. And then I reach a point where I'm comfortable and then I continue just playing at that level. Like for instance, Ghost of Yote, I still have only taken out one of the Yote six. I've tried to push the story to go take out the other ones, but then it turns into like this big thing and this dramatic escape. And you know, it's a lot of story building and everything. But once I got to a point where I had all the weapons, I had a reasonable amount of techniques, I had a handful of armor sets that were somewhat upgraded, like I upgraded my weapons a bit. Eventually, you just find a groove where it's like, ah, now we're in the sweet spot. So I don't know, maybe that'll help you out there, Greg. Just, you know, pushing the story and advancing the game to a point where it's offering you more and challenging you in different ways. Or maybe it's just not a good fit. Who knows?
All right, well, let's take a break, and we will, when we come back, we will get into what we've been playing, because A Dub has a meaty list of what he's
Oh
been
gosh.
playing.
Oh damn.
So yeah, we'll be back with our what we've been playing segment. All right, we are back after that juicy mailbag, and now we're gonna get right to what A
Juicy.
Dub has been playing. So A Dub, what have you been playing?
What haven't I been playing? Let's start with the short and sweet stuff. Absolume, your man A Dub and your boy E Single. We completed Absolume, like completed the run and then completed the post game run where you had to beat the post game boss. So we did that, like almost completed every task in the game. So it's on our radar to come back periodically in order to try to knock that platinum, that 100% right off the list. You know, Absolume, I can't say enough about it. It's a brilliant light in a genre I thought dim because I wasn't really a fighting game kind of, not a fighting game, wasn't really a beat 'em up kind of person. And Absolume directly addressed my main issues with the beat 'em up genre, which were, you know, just the overall pace of your movement. It remedies that with dashes that you can do in a sprint that you can utilize to cover ground a little more quickly. And it also has attacks and opportunities that are presented when you use those abilities. It also has blocking, deflecting, and clashing. So there's a defensive element to it that I haven't really seen in the genre. And from those two angles alone, it made it possible for someone like me who wasn't into beat 'em ups to thoroughly enjoy it as one of my favorite games of 2025. So I'm really thoroughly impressed with Absolume. Looking forward to whatever Dotemu decides to do next. So I'm very optimistic for that. Dabbling in a little more Diablo 4, just building up my bleed barbarian, trying to get through the season journey. I completed the reliquaries, maxed out my tokens again. And yeah, just trying to get those last seasonal rewards before we get to the following season. And the things that I've been seeing from the PTR and the notes that the developer has been offering and, you know, just saying what their intent is and what the season is going to be about. Like AMC, this is going to be a big one. There's been some chatter online, you know, ever since the release of Vessel of Hatred, where people are holding on to this line that they believe Blizzard won't add any kind of substantial changes or improvements to the game outside of paid expansions. Well, this upcoming season, I believe it's going to be season 11, is going to put that line to rest because we're getting another loot overhaul. We're getting a masterworking and tempering improvement pass. We're getting a new level of upgrades called sanctifications, which further enhance the power and the abilities you could put onto your gear. Like you're going to be able to add legendary abilities to legendary equipment that already have abilities. It's going to be quite a bit going on. And in addition to that, they're also going to be overhauling monster behavior, monster AI, like monster scaling and things like that. So, just the entire cadence and progression of battle might feel a bit different to players. And it's a lot. And I think people would do well to go check out those patch notes and get an idea of what to expect of what is to come in the Diablo universe. On top of that, we hear control issues. We like to keep our ears to the streets, so we listen to other podcasts from time to time. I was listening to one, and or actually a couple, and I heard mention of this game that I hadn't seen before called Ball Pit, written Ball X Pit. And basically, what's going on here is imagine. If it, especially if you're old enough, try to imagine this. If you took Arkanoid and mashed it up with Vampire Survivors with like a hint of Tetris, a dash of Dark Souls, and a little survival and base building, and you'll come up with something that might be remarkably similar to Ball Pit. This is one of those Devolver Digital published games, and it's just. It continues the legacy of their uniqueness and their keen eye for just great content. Because you start out, you got yourself like a little area to build structures in. There's base building elements, which aren't necessarily the highlight of the game, but they kind of reinforce the theme and the mechanics that it's presenting to the player. So you have an area that you can build stuff in. You can expand this area with money, and the price goes up as you expand. You fill the place in with structures. Some of them need to actually be completed. And the way that you complete them is you launch your people into the open space as if they are balls themselves. And they bounce off of stuff. And every time they bounce off stuff, that ups it on its construction progress. So with the base building element, what you're basically doing is building a ball arena where you then fire your inhabitants into, and as they bounce around, they collect resources, they improve structures and things like that. They gradually start moving faster, they collect gold. So it's between runs of the game itself, you can get these resources, you can get these passive upgrades, you can improve level scaling and all kinds of stuff like that. And once we start to speak about the nuts and bolts of the game, then we actually get to the playing of it, which is you're gonna pick a character. There's over a dozen of them. They all have different abilities, they all have different starting balls that they play with. And what happens is your character comes in, they're at the bottom of the screen, and it's similar to a traditional, brick breaking game, where if you remember, especially Arkanoid in particular, you're sliding a paddle along the bottom of the level to continue bouncing this ball and getting it, trying to influence where it goes so that you get maximum effect, so that, it goes up and goes behind the bricks, and it just continues to break bricks without you running the risk of the ball falling to the bottom of the level. You don't have to worry about losing your ball. In this game, your ball is your weapon. Like it's the combat system. So each of the characters shoots balls in a different way, or their balls behave differently. Like one character has no defining traits whatsoever. He just shoots a ball and that's it. And then you get your special ball that gets in the mix. And you're just breaking bricks with your enemies. As the enemies get closer, if you're too close to them, then they'll try to melee attack you, and if they get to the bottom, then they'll just get their melee attack off. You can't block it, you can't run from it. They might miss depending on what character or what stat you have, but by and large, you just want to destroy all the enemies before they get to the bottom of the screen, and you want to do that without getting too close to them. It's got elements of Vampire Survivors in there where you're collecting crystals. As you do that, you level up, you get to choose a new piece of supporting equipment. A new piece of supporting equipment or a new ball. You also level up the balls either by leveling up and choosing to level one or pick a new one, or you get these little fusion reactors. And what these do is they serve three purposes. You can either get a random number of level ups for your equipment, anywhere from one to five or whatever the maximum is for what your loadout is. You can fuse two fully leveled up balls or even two fully leveled up pieces of equipment. I've seen one combination. I haven't found any more equipment combinations, but you can fuse the balls and like combine their properties and open up a ball slot in your inventory that you could put a new ball in and upgrade that, fuse again, do more stuff like that, make just wild and wacky combinations. But then the third function it serves is evolving the balls. So if you get two balls that are like that synergize and they're completely leveled up, then you can evolve them and they become a whole different ball that has like enhanced effects, enhanced power, and then you can continue to upgrade that ball. When you fuse them, they're already max level, like you get nothing else out of that. But when you evolve them, they become a new ball with the combined properties and they're level one. So then you can level them up to level three. Then if you get enough, if you get the right like evolved balls, you can combine those. You get crazy stuff. Like I made a nuclear bomb without even trying one time, and that shit was devastating. But yeah, so you're playing this game, you're going through the levels, you have to complete the levels with different characters to get gears. You use gears to upgrade the elevator. You upgrade the elevator to advance to later levels in the game. I completed the final stage of this game yesterday, I believe, but I mean, I still have to go back and complete the levels with all the characters. I have to get all the upgrades and, max out all the buildings and, get all the ball com or get like ball combinations and things like that. So there's still some meat on the bone with this game, and it's just thoroughly enjoying to play, especially how all the action is amplified by the music. It is some of the best music. I'm just sitting there in a state of arcade bliss, just listening to the soundtrack. That feels like it's just striking a chord in my soul. So Ball Pit is awesome. I would recommend people get into that. It is a roguelite, so be prepared. However, it is thoroughly enjoyable, incredibly nostalgic, while somehow remaining completely original. It's a pleasant surprise. I'm glad I got to enjoy that this year. Had a blast with it. I also got into the Ark Raiders Server Slam over, I think it was not this past weekend, but the weekend before. And yeah, I wish I spent more time with it. I went in kind of with bated breath because of the discussion around extraction shooters and live service. I'm not really hot on PvP. Overwatch is fantastic, but by and large, I prefer like cooperative kind of games, like the premise of Helldivers and things like that, where people are working together PvE rather than PvE VP, which Ark Raiders is. However, as I was playing the Server Slam, and you would go in, you're doing what you got to do. Somebody comes up while you're inside of a locker, blasts you, and you got the proximity chat. So I'm just sitting there like, why you got to do this, man? Like, why are you doing this to me? But it's like, for every asshole or two that you run into, sometimes you run into someone who just wants to cooperate, wants to get objectives done, wants to extract with their resources. So, you'll run up, you'll do the crouching dance, tell somebody that you're friendly. Next thing you're running together, you're taking out enemies, and things are just working. So, the big thing that was turning me off at first was the extraction aspect of the game, and that whole, people just running up while you're looting and taking you down. That I
Yeah,
can see
I was
that
going to
being for
ask
co-op
about that. So,
people.
real quick, is this your first extraction shooter?
I believe so, like in a
Yeah.
formal sense, yeah.
Because I know like Division had it, but I never touched it. So,
Yeah, I never went in
yeah.
the dark zones. I always stayed in just the general open world space.
Okay, so now I want to hear. Okay, so here, I want to hear your breakdown of how you feel about extractions, because we know you got Marathon on the way. So I want to hear what your thoughts, so at least from this perspective.
So with the extraction angle, definitely was rubbing me the wrong way at first, but then every time I would come out, the game reminds you that, hey, you can, you have objectives. So it's not so much, oh, I need to go in, I need to grab as much stuff as I can, and I need to get out. Like, that doesn't seem to be the overall thrust of the game. The Like, one objective is get six wires. Another objective is destroy three ARC drones and recover their ARC alloy. And the objectives can be completed incrementally over multiple runs. And in addition to that, you also have a safe pocket in your inventory. So, if there's something that you really don't want to lose in case somebody runs up on you and gaffles you for your goods, you can put some stuff, you can put stuff in the safe pocket. So, like, when I was running trying to get the wires, I would put the wires in my safe pocket. And of course, somebody clipped me. But when I got out, I had progressed the objective. And then, I'm leveling up my character. So you're getting experience as you're doing things within a run. So, if you get clipped, you still leave with your experience. You still leave with whatever's in your safe pocket. You still leave with whatever progress that you've made towards your objectives and your missions. So it's not entirely about the extraction part, which kind of softened it and made it feel more like a roguelite for me, where it's like, okay, sometimes you have good runs, sometimes you have bad runs. And once I looked at it at that perspective, that's when it really started to become more fulfilling from my personal experience, because I can cope with the idea that whether I'm very successful or I fail miserably, I'm still making some incremental progress that's going to keep pushing me deeper into what the game has to offer. It only had one map available at the time. It had a lot of the features blocked out, but it still gave you enough to get an idea of what it's doing and how it's doing it. Like, by and large, if this was a single player game, like, it'd be day one, no questions asked. But I was glad I was able to get into the server slam and get my hands on it. I have pre-ordered it, so I will be playing Ark Raiders when it eventually comes out. I think October 30th, and I'm kind of excited to play it. Like, I want to upgrade. I want to upgrade my character. Like, I want to make friends. Hopefully, I can get one or two dedicated people. Like, it's definitely something that you want to try to have a partner out there. Like, you want to have somebody watching your back while you're rummaging through the lockers, and watch their back while they're rummaging through it as well. Like, just the PvE aspect, the level design, the visuals, the controls, the shooting and everything. Like, it as a game, it's checking all the right boxes for me. That's the primary reason I was interested in it to begin with. I just had to figure out how I felt about the whole extraction angle. And while it can rub, the game doesn't seem to be designed around extraction being the big deal. So you may get out, you may not, but you can still work toward your goals. You can still advance. You can still upgrade your character. You can still improve, your workbench and craft different things. They give you free equipment, which I imagine would be extremely useful, especially if you're getting your ass kicked out there. And yeah, man, there's quite a bit there. So I'm impressed with Ark Raiders. I'm looking forward to playing it when it goes live October 30th. No Man's Sky got yet another update. This is No Man's Sky Breach, which introduces the ability to rummage through crashed Corvettes. The previous update that they put into the game added Corvettes, which are larger customizable spacecraft that you can walk around in. You can get up from the pilot seat while they're flying in space. You could open the cargo door and go out on spacewalks. So now Breach seems to expand a bit on the Corvette system. It adds new Corvette parts, and it introduced Expedition 20, which, puts you in a universe. You're starting from scratch, and you gotta complete these milestones over six, well, five phases. So once you complete all five phases, that completes the sixth phase, and the expedition is over. I've never done an expedition before because I always, once I saw like the phases and all the milestones you had to do, it just felt to me like, oh, this is gonna take some time. I don't think I wanna play the game this way. But I decided with Breach, and since it deals with Corvettes and getting Corvette parts, that I would get down with that. And worst case scenario, I would just come out with more Corvette parts that I could use to make my ship better. But ultimately, like, the milestones weren't very difficult to achieve. They cover a broad spectrum of the different kind of activities that you do in the game. Like, they wanted me to find a deep ocean and go down a thousand units, or whatever the unit of measure is in the game. Like, gather a certain number of particular resources, craft a particular thing, build a Corvette. I had to space walk into a black hole, which was pretty interesting. Also, what was one of them that I really enjoyed? One of them introduced me to the fishing mechanic, which, had been in the game for a long time, but I never engaged with it. But since it was on the expedition, I finally did that, and it was pretty cool, pretty chill. It's a very simple system, as most of them are in No Man's Sky, but fun. And it just adds to the whole, it adds to the amount of expression that players can have with all the tools that the game has on offer. So, it's always nice to dive back into No Man's Sky. It's in a phenomenal place right now with all the content that has been added over the years, and it makes me incredible. Incredibly anxious and curious to see what they're going to do for the upcoming 10th anniversary for the game. It came out, I believe, August of 2016. So August 2026 is fast approaching. And yeah, I'm optimistic that they might have something big planned. If they don't, hey, that's just the way the ball bounces. But Hello Games seems to be firmly footed on the foundation of No Man's Sky. So I'm excited for whatever they have cooking on that. Now, let me see. Do I have any more? I mean, Ghost of Yote. What is that word? I hit on that a little bit in the previous segment. But yeah, just still running around the open world, just still enjoying the combat. I figured out how to roll back some of the upgraded looks for my armor. So I have a bit more expression there, a few more options for how I want my Atsu to present herself as she's walking through the region. Just doing side missions, cleaning up all that side content, just maxing out my skill points, just basically licking the plate for a meal that I haven't even really started. It's like 50 hours and nothing but side content. But I'm gonna push the main story of the game and eventually get to the conclusion there. I thoroughly enjoy it. It's an awesome experience that I recommend for everybody. And yeah, I think that about covers most, if not all, the things that I've been playing recently. But AMC, what have you been playing?
Two games. I won't be long on here. Same games as always. I told you I was busy at work, so I didn't really get to do a ton of gaming over the past 2 weeks. But when I did have that time in the game, it was a little bit of Overwatch, so just more work with Zenyatta, just enjoying there. There was a period, like a streak, where I was literally winning every match with Zenyatta. Like even matches
Yeah.
where it would start out where it's like, ah, this team, like we don't have our chemistry, we're getting our asses kicked. And then like after that, say first round, if it's control, then you get the second map and you get a second crack at it. We win that second one, we get the third match, we win the third match, and we win it all. It's a shit like that, like where even when I thought like, okay, this is just not the right team, or just the opponents are just too much. Like we just figure it out, and it was just weird. It was just with Zenyatta, like I was just winning every match to the point where I was like even checking like my like what are my win loss things, but like it didn't show like a difference based off of like the overall time I put in with Zenyatta. But yeah, it just felt like I was winning every match with Zenyatta, and so yeah, I still get in there every now and then just to get in a little work. They also have like Halloween stuff going on right now, so I wanted to check out. I believe they had a free Soldier 76 skin. Still might be available for PS Plus members. So I picked that up. And yeah, I just put a little work there. But the main game I've been playing, That being Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom on the Switch 2. Just always pushing forward there. At this point now, I am working on my second sage. So I believe there's four sages within the game. And when you get them, you get their sage help. And I believe it's like a sage, like spectral companion that travels with you. And as you're going through, as you're acquiring these sages to join your side, you have a couple story missions with them, and you get to play alongside them, and that's where you kind of get a taste of what their abilities are. And so the first one I got, he was a bird dude, and his sage ability would be he could create like a powerful gust of wind, which I could then sail on with the glider. So it allows me to cover more of the map. I could also use it to create a big gust of wind to blow enemies over if they're small enough. So enjoyed that, but now I got a he's in the volcano area, and he has rock breaking abilities, and so he curls up into a ball much like Blanka, and then you can just send him in any direction you want, and if there's a breakable structure, he will break the shit out of it, or he will just bulldoze into an enemy and knock them over and do a healthy amount of damage. So I'm really looking forward to getting him on the team. What was great though is as I was playing through his missions, there's a point where I had to go to a volcano. I get to the volcano, and at the top of the volcano, there's these three behemoths that are like lava behemoths that are attached to the volcano. And so I gotta take them down in order to get inside the volcano. So I'm like, how am I gonna take these dudes? And as I'm getting ready to climb up, I look over to the side. Climb up the volcano. I look over to the side and I see this glider. I had seen gliders earlier on the map, but this was an already constructed glider, meaning it had like four fans on it, a couple batteries to power the fans, so you don't have to rely on your personal battery, and a steering mechanism so that I can control the glider. So I'm like, all right, let's try this shit out. So I get it going, and I am literally. And I'm trying to think, did it have something to attack with? Oh yeah, the sage guy was the way I was able to attack. So I get the glider, take it into the air. So this is the first time I had hot air balloons and glided that way, kind of get a fan to push me in the right direction, and I'm just floating on the hot air balloon. But this is a straight up like just like craft, like an aircraft that I have going on. And so I'm flying. I have the sage boulder guy with me, and as I take off on the glider, he attaches to the front, and I can just shoot him off of the glider in any direction that I want, forward facing. And so I'm using him as my attack mechanism as I'm soaring through the skies in his glider, and I'm just like, I am in a Zelda game, and I'm just flying a ship right now as I'm taking down these bosses. It's very much the intention of how you're supposed to do this, and I loved it. Did that, and so now I know kind of the recipe to build that type of glider. So it's great because it's all they help you, but it's all instructive. So then you know that moving forward, if you have these pieces, you can put them together, create your own little airship, and fly that around the map. And so things like
Damn.
that I absolutely love about it. Like it's never straightforward, but it's pretty easy to pick up if you're paying attention. And it's all very imaginative. You just if you think it, you can probably construct it if they give you the tools that are right for it. And it's just everything. So yeah, I'm loving Zelda, but I don't have much to say there. A
Is
Dub
there
was oh
any
yeah, yes.
reason for you to build like the same kind of vehicle more than once? Do they break down, or do they run out of energy that can't be refilled or something? Or can you just make something and just rock with that the whole time?
So it's one of those things where it's not like a Bethesda game, which I mean, people overlook it, but it's why Bethesda games are Bethesda games, is that if you drop something off in one place, that thing will be gone if you come back later. And so, yeah, so it's not like a.
How far can you go?
Yeah.
Like if you fast travel from one side of the map to the other, just
Yeah, then it's gone. If you fast travel, it's gone. If you say save the game, quit out the game, and then reload
oh,
it, that thing will be gone. So
damn.
yeah, like I pretty much like the Switch 2 is mine, and so I just never close out Zelda. So
Totally understand.
I just keep that Switch 2 in sleep mode, which is I don't even think you can really power it down. Like I'm sure there is a way, but it's de facto, its default like shutdown is sleep, and so it's pretty much always it's always slightly on. In essence, it's not really burning. It's not burning battery, but it is on. And so I just put it in rust mode, never shut off the game, and so I just continue exactly where I left off in order to avoid losing my creations. I know that there is a way to import creations, so there is kind of workarounds if you want to do something like that, but there are these dispensers all over the map, and they have different items. And so at this point, I have pretty much 10 of everything that I've come across. I just buy a bunch of them, and so that if I ever get in a situation, I can quickly just put them all back together. But yeah, to answer your question, no, the way that they save on their RAM or whatever it is that Bethesda does so well, they do not do that in Zelda. So that shit is gone if you leave that area of the map. Anything
Shoot, but
else?
that's the game.
I
I'll come
know it
around, pick up a pistol I dropped in
is.
hour one, like 100 hours later.
Yeah, there's a reason why. I mean, people knock that Bethesda jank, but in order to keep all that memory going, you're gonna come across some issues. But they also that's the reason why it's very much like a life sim, because you come across stuff, you like Elder Scrolls, you put that in your house, that shit is in your house, and you can always come back, pick it up for later. So yeah, I always did like that in Bethesda games. I think there was like I remember like seeing people would even do some crazy stuff, like how they would decorate their houses like with like bodies and stuff. Like
Yeah.
it was wild. So like they Bethesda allows for you to have that type of creatability, I guess that idea that you can just like save things and come back to them later, but that is not the case with Zelda. Yeah.
Different games.
Different strokes for different folks. But yeah, let's take a break, A-Dub, and then we will get into our first topic of the week.
Topic of the week.
All right, we are back, A-Dub. You break us off with that first topic of the week.
Topic of the
Week.
week. Well, I just got to go into the big one, AMC,
Yeah,
because
you're
not
right to it.
even being 2 weeks, not much has happened recently, but bombshells were dropped. We finally got to see what Halo Studios, formerly known as 343, have been up to. Yes, we have finally gotten our first look at the Halo Combat Evolved, appropriately titled Halo Campaign Evolve, Vol, Vol.
Evolved.
Yes, so we finally got to see it. Halo, the original Halo running underneath Unreal Engine 5. I mean, as you would expect from that kind of combination, it looks, moves, and sounds exactly like what you remember from the OG Xbox days. However, it has a generous glow up by the way of Unreal 5. I mean, lighting, particle effects, just raw assets in general. Everything looks like it came fresh out of development today for the first time. But it's that Halo goodness that you know and that you love. Let me see if I can find any kind of details about it. So it's by and large the same Halo campaign that we all know and love. However, it wouldn't be a big deal unless they went in and did some things to improve the experience or to add to it. From what I was picking up, there's going to be three additional missions that make up a prologue of sorts that'll take place before the game. It's going to be for the purpose of fleshing out some relationships, some lore, some story content to just give you a little more oomph when you're going out there with your shotguns and your assault rifles. The demo showed off a lengthy segment of running along some beachy coastlines, going into some Halo structures that are embedded within the environment itself. Of course, we see the chief as well as his soldiers that come along for backup and support, taking on the Covenant out in the wild. You see all your boys, you see the little babies running around screaming for their lives, you're seeing the jackals hopping to and fro with the shields, you're seeing the hunters coming out in packs of two as they always do, and the chief is just mowing that ass down every which way. So yeah, campaign evolved, It's here. It's coming next year, and it's going to be releasing on Xbox and PlayStation. So, AMC, I know you probably have a bit more information about this, but I also want to get your opinion about not only what we saw, but where the game is going to be ending up next year. How did you feel?
I kind of like this route that they're going with the remaster. We had Infinite, and at this point, I mean, I guess the only thing I would have maybe thought is go full, I guess, remake in essence, but change it up so that you can then do a new branching path of the Halo universe. Like you kind of set it up within the origins of the Combat Evolved, but then you go in a different direction. And so now they're going that they're trying to do this one for one thing with with like a couple of missions added. It's interesting because I am curious to see what they will do then with Halo 2, because we do know people liked the first two, maybe three Halos. And so they could easily just do those three like remaster, remake, whatever, all, but kind of just stay true to the original and then go wherever you want from there, because it seems like after that point is when people kind of then started to question what was going on with Halo. So I think this is a good way to introduce a lot of people into it, especially like it's hard to believe that there are PlayStation people that haven't played Halo Combat Evolved at this point, only because anybody you I it's obviously skewed behind the fact that anybody who talks about gaming is into gaming, so has kind of done their due diligence of kind of playing at least a lot of the important games over time. And
We
so
call
it's
it
rare.
required reading.
Yeah. And so it's kind of rare for anybody who's really into gaming at this point to be like, yeah, I've never touched a Halo game. And that's only because I've been just exclusively siloed away in the PlayStation ecosystem or the Nintendo ecosystem. But it you do have to count you do have to account for a lot of the new gamers, I would say, because there are a lot of people who are just getting into gaming or just got into gaming and haven't touched Halo Combat Evolved. And so it's this thing where it's like everybody knows that from a branding standpoint, like Halo, I would say like Halo, what is more recognizable as a Microsoft product than I can think of a lot of like PlayStation games over time. Like maybe at this point, it would be, I guess, Kratos is maybe the most recognizable PlayStation character from a first party standpoint. But yeah, like Master Chief, a lot of people are aware of Master Chief, but I'm not sure how many people have like played the origins of Combat Evolved when it comes to the Halo thing. And so it does make sense to bring it out in this more modern form so that people can kind of get reintroduced into that space, and then I guess you figure out where to go from there. And so it will be interesting to see it like as far as it being on PlayStation, I mean, no real surprise. I know like all the headlines are making it seem like who saw this coming, but it's funny because we're in a space of gaming where everybody likes to say that they predicted everything. But then when Halo comes to PlayStation, people are like, I didn't see this coming. It's like we literally just got Gears like remastered not too long ago. Like that outside of that, I mean, all the other games with Forza coming over, like why would Halo not be one of those ones to eventually come over? And so now to at least see that that is now like it's official, so we can get past that. It'll be interesting to see now how people take into this way of going about Halo. Because there was a lot of excitement around Infinite, but it clearly didn't meet the expectations as far as I think what people thought Infinite was going to be was basically Diablo, or not Diablo, Destiny Halo, where it's like this, you get this big campaign and then they were just going to continue to update it with PvE content or story content that you could return to play with the homies, and it just basically be Halo Destiny, and it'd be the one platform that they would play on that. It seemed like
Awesome idea.
yeah, and that didn't come out, that didn't come to fruition. It seemed like what ended up happening was they had the campaign and then all the resources went to PvP, but then it wasn't updated in enough of a in a consistent enough of a of a way to keep people's interest in Halo Infinite. And so then the multiplayer from the PvP perspective eventually fell off. And there are people who come back and they'd be like, it's a great game. It's just that they just didn't do enough to keep the player base around. And so from that standpoint too, it does help in a world of cross-platform multiplayer if they do try it again from a multiplayer perspective. I know it seems like from this one the focus is on just the campaign and the co-op, but if they do decide to, I mean, one part of Combat Evolved and the biggest part of Combat Evolved was the multiplayer. I would say that the thing that kept its legs going is the people being able to hop on, get the land situation set up, and then get the PvP action going and the split screen, but on different TVs and stuff like that. Yeah, that's what Halo is known for. And so they're gonna focus on the co-op, which I think is the smart play. Let everybody get into that, and then if they want to get that multiplayer going down the line, then they can then really lean into that, and it'll be cross-platform. So then you have a wider net to distribute this game over to then bolster its multiplayer functionality. And so I think it's a good approach for, I guess, a modern take on Halo. And so it'll be interesting to see how people who didn't necessarily get into original Halo Combat Evolved, how they get into this one now. Because like Gears came out and like people played it. People bought it, but you didn't really hear much about it after it came out. And so I'm interested to see if this game will have more legs post-launch, just being that it's Halo. How about yourself? Where are you at? I know you said like you played it in the pre-show. You said you played Halo with it through your brother's console, so it wasn't your primary console. But where are you at with this coming back on PlayStation, and if you are gonna dive in this time around?
I'm leaning toward yes because, no matter what anybody says, Halo is still Halo. And the original is a classic that should forever be remembered in everyone's hearts and minds. Whenever we think about, the most influential video games, the most important video games. So I think it's just important to revisit it in this newly polished form. And, unfortunately, it seems that there won't be multiplayer in this remake remaster of Halo CE. However, that doesn't mean that they're not giving you something in return to give you a reason to dive in, a reason to come in with an open mind, a bit of optimism. Like we already talked about the three mission prologue that they're adding. So that's going to extend how much of the game that you have to play. 343 says that this Halo will have the most skulls of any Halo game. If you're a Halo veteran, then you already know that skulls are the gameplay modifiers that you can implement that make things more challenging and more unpredictable. And I believe there's a pretty like prestigious achievement known as the Lasso, where you play on Legendary with all skulls enabled. So I definitely will never aspire to something like that. However, that's awesome for the people who want to do that. Reading the article from IGN, Ryan McCaffrey reports that when asked how many skulls exactly will be in Campaign Evolved, they got a reply in the area of dozens. So that's something to look forward to with all kinds of different ways to modify your experience when you're going back into the classic. In addition to that, in Campaign Evolved, vehicles will be boardable and destructible. So let me get to that portion of the article because I like the way they phrased it. Let's see. For starters, vehicles are boardable and destructible now, as they were in subsequent Halo games. That means a ghost can no longer torment you endlessly, nor are you effectively invulnerable in a scorpion tank. On a related note, a fourth player can now sit on the back of a warthog. And though I didn't get to try it, this is Ryan McCaffrey speaking, though I didn't get to try it out on the Silent Cartographer, the Wraith is drivable now too, as it first became in Halo 2. Also, any weapons the bad guys wield, you can too. As such, the energy sword is now in your tool belt if you take one off the corpse of a gold elite. Halo Studio says there will be 8 weapons in Campaign Evolve that aren't new to Halo, but are usable for the first time in Master Chief's first adventure. On the movement front, Sprint has also been added. It's not on a cooldown. You can run endlessly. McCaffrey says, I could see this one annoying the Halo 1 purists most of all. But not only do the developers say you can turn it off, but you can also just not use it.
Yeah, but it's there.
But is it just being there? Holy shit. Oh man. I mean, this all sounds awesome. So you can get that good old classic one-to-one Halo experience that you got back in your OG Xbox with your Duke and your little baby hands, or you can play it in this newly imagined way. Just a new way to play a classic game. So this is awesome. Like I said, I'm more than likely going to be getting this just for the sake of honoring the legacy of Halo and, getting my toes back in that universe again. I could get Halo Infinite, but I never really had a taste for it. It was a good idea, but it just didn't seem like something that I would spend too much time with. However, Halo Campaign Evolved, I'm having it. I think it's a smart move having the cross play because, you want to have a strong community supporting the game. That way, Halo Studios can continue to support the game themselves and, continue to improve it, expand it, and get ideas for what the future of the Halo franchise holds. However, I'm not the only person providing constructive criticism, providing feedback. We got Troll of the
The
Week,
week,
Troll of the
troll of the
Week,
week,
Troll of the
troll of the
Week,
week,
Troll of the
troll of the
Week,
week,
Troll of the Week, week,
week,
week,
week,
week,
week, week.
week, 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 week. Got Troll of the Week coming sideways at Halo Campaign Evolve. What could they possibly find wrong with this? First Troll says, let me guess, the next big news will be Game Pass coming to PlayStation 5. Next troll says, Xbox fanboys lost the war. The next troll says, does this make PlayStation and Xbox now? I was asking myself the same question after I watched the Halo presentation. Like, damn, this shit is just basically Xbox at this point.
I mean, did you really not believe it was coming to
It's not that I didn't believe it. It's that
PlayStation?
it didn't seem. It didn't seem as in your face as it is now. It's like, damn, like just everything. It's one thing to like notice the pattern. It's another thing to see the pattern play out. So yeah,
It's like like when you see the democracy falling, but then like it's like, all right, we're actually here now. The democracy's done. Okay. Like, fuck.
To that end, which is an excellent example, it's like, oh, democracy's ending. Things are still pretty cool over here. And then one day you wake up and it's like, why are there still large gaping holes in the street? Like, why are the police
Why are
behaving
the
this way?
police followed by federal agents.
Why are federal agents what is it, instigating conflicts with civilians? Like,
Mass federal
damn.
agents.
Well,
I know what you're
whatever.
saying.
That's get your politics out of my
But
podcast.
like it happened. It's like it's still like, is it gonna happen? But like it's gonna happen, but when the day still comes, it still feels like, damn, it's here.
Because that was the last tentpole, man. That was the burger, shake, and fries, as they say. Like, we already had Gears. We already had Forza Horizon. Now we got Halo. Well, hey, I mean, that's just the way things are going. Now it's just kind of all eyes on Xbox to see if they're gonna continue to play the first party game. I mean, I know they're talking about, they got another console coming, but I mean, what's really the point if virtually everything you're gonna have on that console is gonna be on the competitor's platform? However, I'm not gonna get too deep into it. These trolls, they got more important things to say. Next troll says 343 is gonna find some way to screw this up.
Oh,
Next
so
troll said,
they don't even believe in the game.
Damn, that's a bad place to be in. Next troll says, "This is just another FU to the fans and another nail in the coffin for the Halo franchise. A game no one really wants. What we want is a new Halo game, not open world." Somebody really did not like Infinite. Next troll says, "So this is basically a fan project made by a AAA developer. Sounds about right." My man relegated their work to fandom. Like, damn, that hurts. Next troll says, "Damn, shit's sad. It was funny at first, but Sony having no competition is not good." It's just a minor bit on the whole competition thing. I was listening to another podcast. I forget exactly which one, and if anyone does know, feel free to drop us a line, controlissuespod@gmail.com. But somebody brought up a very strong point where it's like competition didn't stop Sony from making some of the bad decisions that it has made with Xbox right there. So it's not like Xbox being there is gonna keep Sony on their P's and Q's and keep them in good standing. It's like they'll fuck up no matter who's next to them. I believe it was Colin Moriarty on Sacred
If
Sports.
anything, it's potentially worse, is how you would look at it. Because typically, once you don't have competition, then you can raise your prices. You can kind of start pushing, you can start exercising your pricing power as you have less competition. So that's where competition is important. It's because the thing is, they don't have to rectify things as fast as possible. It's like, well, what are you going to do? And so that's the big worry about having less competition, is they have less to answer for, in essence. And so that would be the big worry about Xbox if it ever went away in some type of form.
We're gonna see what that world looks like at some point with the way things are going. Last troll says, "The final nail in the coffin. Xbox is lost." Troll of the
Troll of the
week,
week,
troll of the
troll of the
week,
week.
troll of the week, troll of the week, 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 week,
I guess
week.
the question would be, though, it's like, so staying with that now, with the idea of like Xbox is done. So even if they wanted Game Pass to come to PlayStation, do you think Sony would allow Game Pass on their PlayStation consoles?
Sony knows how to run a profitable gaming business, or a successful gaming business, I should say. And they understand that, like, if you want people coming to your platform, then your platform has to be unique. And, I don't know. I don't ever see that happening, because it just kind of, I mean, on the one, it just puts money back in Microsoft's pocket and
Exactly. So
puts
that's why,
them
like,
in a stronger position. Like,
when
you don't
people
want to help
say,
them when they're down.
like, yeah, it's like, and that's kind of the whole point, because people are like, oh, well, Game Pass is now coming to Sony next. And it's like, it wouldn't make sense for Sony to have Game Pass, because we know that that's just a competitor to their own first party games that they would be bringing onto their console. So it wouldn't make sense at all. So, like, if you really want to see the death nail, if anything, well, one, it'd be if they just completely got out of the hardware space, but it would really be Game Pass going away, because that's literally what's like, that is the thing that keeps them unique. And that's what they've been leaning into, is this whole Game Pass thing. And there'd be no reason for Nintendo or PlayStation to ever have Game Pass in their ecosystem. And so once they get rid of, if they ever get rid of Game Pass, that would then be the official, all right, they're done as far as like what makes Xbox Xbox. Like, that at that point, they're then just a publisher putting games out on different platforms.
I mean, yeah, it's like Sony is in the business of selling games. Nintendo is in the business of selling games.
And
Game Pass,
selling
their
their
game.
games, and
Yes.
specifically selling their games. And that's where, like, Microsoft, from this standpoint, it's, we have Game Pass in our ecosystem. People come to us for Game Pass. But if they still want to buy our games, and we still need games to then sell to then bolster Game Pass, then we're going to sell our games in other ecosystems to then create another revenue source, which is, in essence, it's like Sony putting their games on PC. It's because they want another revenue source. And so yeah, it's like it's kind of like how how things slowly bleed out of like your ecosystem is when they try to basically chase those other revenue sources. Like it's the only thing that like is unique about this is Nintendo hasn't felt the need to do that yet. And who knows if they ever will feel that need because they seem to be very much in the we want to control everything that is Nintendo to the point where litigation is heavy and frothy from their standpoint. So like yeah, like Nintendo's the only one that's still very much we're keeping this as closed as possible. And we'll see how long that lasts. But yeah, as of right now, it's yeah, like they're chasing these other revenue sources while trying to keep some type of, I guess, uniqueness about them. But yeah, I think that when Game Pass is done, that's when it's a wrap as far as
Yeah.
Microsoft goes.
And like Game Pass is incompatible with Sony. Like the whole main selling point of that is the day one exclusives. Like why would Sony allow one a competitor's service onto their
What
platform?
when they already have their own subscription service on their platform as
Exactly.
well.
And then two, like why would they allow any service other than their own come into their ecosystem offering games that they're trying to sell?
Yeah.
It's completely incompatible. So
Yeah, it wouldn't make sense at all for Sony to ever accept Game Pass in their ecosystem.
yeah, but we'll take them games though.
Yeah,
I'm
exactly.
looking forward to that campaign evolved. I'm looking forward to Stalker 2 on November 4th. Keep them coming. So
That's not a
more.
Microsoft game though. That's a
It's not
that's
a
it.
Microsoft game, but it
Yeah.
was exclusive to the Xbox. It was one of the few games I had on Xbox that was like, all right, this is on Xbox. My Xbox is justified. Now it's coming to PlayStation. It's like, shit. Whatever. It's a fantastic game. I'll be able to double dip, support GSC Game World a little bit more, be able to get that PS5 Pro support, be able to enjoy all the patches that I have yet to experience in that game, and maybe push it over the finish line and clear my backlog just a little bit. But that's enough about that. AMC, you got our
Next
next
topic of the
topic of the
week.
week. Top
Top
topic of
topic
the
of the
week.
week. All right, we got the. This is pretty quick because I felt like last week or last time we recorded, we were doing August, but now we have Circana's collection of the best-selling games of September in the United States. So let's get into this, A-Dub. So
All
we're gonna
right.
first lead off with the individual, the best-selling games of September alone. So number one, we got a new game. Shouldn't be a surprise, but I feel like it might have been a surprise to some people based on the reaction to the launch. That being Borderlands 4. Number two, NBA 2K26. So Take-Two with the top two games of September. Let's see. Number three, we got a new game. EA Sports FC 26, so soccer game. We got number four, another new game, Ghost of Yote. So that's
Yes.
where Yote falling behind Borderlands 4, but it was also console exclusive. So put games on multiple consoles to sell more units. All right, let's see. Number five, Madden NFL 26. Number six, Helldivers 2. So still selling.
All
I don't know if
right.
Microsoft is buying any of those games. Apparently, this is only Sony people. But more on that later. Number
Oh,
seven,
I'm looking forward to that.
we got a new game, Silent Hill F. Number eight, got another new game, Sonic Racing Cross Worlds. Number nine, another new game, final, well, new old game, but new game, Final Fantasy Tactics, The Ivalice Chronicles. Number 10, all right, old game. Metal Gear Solid Delta, Snake Eater 11, EA Sports College Football 26, 12, another new game, NHL 26, 13, sorry, lost my place, 13, Digimon Story, Time Stranger, that's a new game, 14, new old game, but new game nonetheless, Super Mario Galaxy plus Super Mario Galaxy 2,
Yes.
15, it's Minecraft, 16, Forza Horizon 5, 17, Grand Theft Auto 5, 18, Donkey Kong Bonanza, 19, Kickoff Bundle, and 20, always selling Red Dead Redemption 2. So let's see, we got some more details. So Borderlands 4, Generated the highest launch month dollar sales of any title in franchise history, nearly
Damn.
30% higher than the previous best, Borderlands 3. Borderlands 4 was the first Borderlands title to launch as the best-selling game of its release month. So that's a pretty big deal. I'm guessing usually Madden would have launched around September, who knows? And that's why it was never the number one game. We have to see where Borderlands launched in the past, but yeah, first time a
So,
Borderlands game is launched number one for its month.
all that fussing over Randy's tweets, all that fussing over $80, all that fussing about performance and launch and this and that and what the game has and what it doesn't. Best launch of the franchise.
Yeah, I like when people do this thing too, where they're like, "Oh, we can't keep supporting this bad behavior when a game doesn't launch like in a perfect state."
Yeah.
And then like, but then they're also playing it and talking about it. So it's like, clearly you are not like practicing what you preach when it comes to that. So yeah, exactly.
There were so many posts on so many Borderlands threads pre-release. I'm not buying this. Who's gonna buy this trash? This franchise is dead. Borderlands 3 was terrible. Why would I support this? It's biggest launch of the franchise.
Yeah, let's
Man.
see. Yeah, as far as I mentioned, with Helldivers 2. So Helldivers 2 was the fourth best-selling game of September on Xbox platforms. So it
Oh.
was selling on Xbox
Oh.
after debuting number 3 in August. So number 3 in August, number 4 in September on the
So
Xbox platforms.
selling on Xbox and selling steady. I
Yeah,
like
selling
that.
steady, and yeah, in the fifth ranked spot. So clearly that we saw that it created enough engagement where people were buying it one on Xbox, but then also buying it on PlayStation. And remember that was the first tease of Halo on PlayStation, A-Dub, was Helldivers 2. Remember,
ODST,
always remember that was the first strike across the bow. Let's see.
still out there leaving breadcrumbs. That's what
Yeah.
that
I mean, the question is, when is Starfield coming? But I
That's the
guess that's
last
the
one. That's the
yeah, that's
last one.
they're just holding on. I think they're just my prediction is they have an update coming, and then when that expansion or update comes, that's when they'll launch it on PlayStation.
Yeah, that seems to be the general consensus online. Like we didn't talk about it on any of the shows, but they did show a teaser for what is entitled Terran Armada. So, Terran seems to imply Earth. So we'll see if this content has anything to do with Earth or any kind of Earth-related activities. And then the word about the internet is that, the release of the expansion was delayed to possibly coincide with a PlayStation 5 release. We'll just have to see how that comes together over time, but given current events, I don't doubt anything anymore.
I mean, yeah, it had been rumored for so long. It was a matter of when. Let's see. September game content spending increased by 11% when compared to a year ago. So we're seeing an increase in sales, A-Dub, reaching 4.3 billion. The growth was driven by 32% in subscription spending. So that's going up. I guess nobody wants subscription, but yet it keeps growing in numbers.
Hey, maybe that's the effect of $30 for Ultimate.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see, 12% growth in console content. So people still buying games and buying more than games, and 4% increase in mobile. Let's see, so best-selling games of the year so far. Ooh, we got a game moved up. NBA 2K26 is now the best-selling game of the year, A-Dub. It was
Okay.
Previously Monster Hunter Wilds, but 2K26 is now taking place of that. Number three in its debut month, A-Dub, Borderlands 4.
God damn.
It's
Damn, number three for the year.
for the year in its debut month. Nobody wanted it. Apparently, the writing was the only reason, A-Dub. But they did say.
I tried to tell people Borderlands always does Zelda numbers. It's worth $80. Here we go.
Wasn't it $70?
Exactly. People say, no, that's not it, Randy. That's not the game. Y'all can't be the ones. No, same thing they did with Outer Worlds 2. But granted, I believe Borderlands 4 is probably a more robust offering. Like, come on now. If a game is moving tens of millions of units, they could charge whatever they want. Borderlands 4 is one of those games. Stop fronting on Gearbox. Stop fronting on Take-Two. Pay what you owe.
Let's see, number four, EA Sports College Football 26. Five, The Elder Scrolls 4, Oblivion Remastered. Six, Call of Duty Black Ops 6. Seven, Madden NFL 26. Eight, MLB The Show 25. Nine, Elden Ring Nightreign. I'm going to start blowing through these rest of these. WWE 2K25, Kingdom Come Deliverance 2, Forza Horizon 5, Split Fiction, Minecraft, new game, EA Sports FC 26 at 15, EA Sports MVP Bundle, NBA 2K25. Damn, so it shows up here twice in this list. And then in its debut month at number 18, Ghost of Yote, 19, Helldivers 2. It was 21 last month, so it's moving up the ladder. So
Hell
it's just
yeah.
gaining momentum. And then the last one, Civ 7 at number 20. Let me blow through these because we're up against it. Let's see, hardware. Nintendo Switch 2 was the best-selling video game hardware in both unit and dollar sales for September 2025 year to date, and 2025 year to date. PlayStation 5 ranked second in both measures. We'll skip each individual console sales. And you know what? Well, I'll save this for quick hits because he just had a little note about PS2. So, A-Dub, we'll take a break and we'll come back with our quick hits. All right, we are back, A-Dub. Two big topics of the week. We're now in that quick
Topics
hit.
of the week.
We're in that quick hit section. So you want to lead us off with a quick hit?
Do I want to lead off in a quick?
I can lead off.
Yeah, I think you should lead off. I don't have any unless you want to talk about how well the Arc Raider Server Slam went.
Okay. All I'll say is Matt Piscatella. He just said, "Happy 25th anniversary to the PlayStation 2." Could you guess
Oh,
what's the best
Jesus.
selling PlayStation 2 game in the US?
Best-selling PlayStation 2 game in the United States. I almost want to say it's GTA San Andreas.
Yes, you're right. It is GTA San.
Oh.
In fact, GTA had the top three spots, but yeah, GTA was the king of the GTAs on the PlayStation 2. So to get into this, so it says PlayStation sold over 46.5 units in the United States. Grand Theft Auto being its best selling, man, like one of those revenue sources we were talking about that went away after the PlayStation 2. They said they moved 28.3 memory cards for the PS2. So yeah,
Oh,
those are
Lord.
those sales that those are those sales that they lose with bigger hard drives. Maybe that cost was passed on to us within the hard drive. Who knows? We did see that hard
Well, I
drives have been
mean,
shrinking.
is that Microsoft? But that's Microsoft disrupting the gaming industry by introducing those kind of benefits and advancements that made the nickel and diamond that Sony was doing obsolete.
Let's see. The top 20 best-selling games on PlayStation 2: Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, as A-Dub correctly predicted. Two,
Yes, I'm
Vice
gonna hold on to
City.
that forever.
Yes. Number two, Vice City. Number three, Grand Theft Auto 3. Four, Guitar Hero 3, Legends of Rock. Five, Gran Turismo 3, A-Spec. So the best-selling first-party PlayStation game was Gran Turismo. I wonder if that would at all line up anymore. Madden NFL 2005, 7, Guitar Hero 2. Man, you just forget how big Guitar Hero was back then. 8, Madden NFL
Dude,
2004.
all the people I played Guitar Hero with were not like gamers to the degree that yourself and I are.
Yeah, that makes sense
It'd
because
be
that.
like the homie gamers. Like it's like, oh, you guys play something? Yeah, I got like Guitar Hero and Mario Kart.
Yeah,
Wii
I mean
Sports.
you could see how like I mean, and then you see with like the Wii that's selling very well for people who weren't traditional gamers, like the that was of that time. It was definitely very much a what can we do to bring in people outside of the traditional gamers, and Guitar Hero was definitely one of those. And I guess Wii Sticks was the other way to do that. Let's
Wii
see,
Sticks.
Madden NFL 2004 at 8, 9, Kingdom Hearts 10, Madden NFL 6, Madden just killing it. Madden NFL 7 at 11, 12, Jam Pack selling well. People into those jam packs. Oh, I forgot those other
One of
games,
those
like.
like the kind of like Jeopardy kind of party game thingies.
Yeah, exactly. Like those are really popular back then as well. 13, Madden NFL, Madden still selling. 14, Need for Speed Underground, RIP Need for Speed. 15,
R.I.P.
Star Wars Battlefront 2, another RIP. 16,
Only 15.
yeah.
Huh. Seemed bigger
Six,
than that.
yeah, you would think, especially for a Star Wars game that was is talked about so fondly.
That's loved.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, by the way, these are unit sales. These aren't dollar sales, if that makes a difference at all. But let's see. Midnight Club at 16, 17, Final Fantasy X, 18, Gran Turismo 4. Sell those games were selling well back then. 19, I
Final
mean, they still.
Fantasy X.
Yeah, X. 19, God of War, and 20, Medal of Honor. So many franchises that aren't really around anymore, aren't as popular as they used to be, but a lot of the traditional franchises still holding up. But
Two racing franchises that disappeared.
two racing franchises in what, Midnight Club and pretty much Need for
And
Speed at
Need for
this point.
Speed.
Gran Turismo, best-selling PlayStation first party game. Now I'd imagine there'd be some single player story driven games that would be at the top of that list now.
It's probably Spider-Man.
Yeah, I'd have to say it has to be Spider-Man. But yeah, it's pretty crazy. So yeah, do you have you said you don't really have any quick hits, or do you have any comments about that? Like,
Well, you know, our current peers.
what's your fond memory of the PlayStation 2, A-Dub? How about that?
I like this. I like this audible.
Yeah.
Fond memory of the PlayStation 2. I gotta say, if I can ever find a version of Grand Theft Auto 3 on the PlayStation 2 disc that
Yes.
will allow me to access my original save,
Get that tank.
I swear, no, it deals with the tank. I swear on everything that I might have the longest recorded, like legit, unmodded, no cheating, but I might have the legit longest jump in Grand Theft Auto 3 history because I had a tank and something in my mind was like, the cannon has a significant amount of kickback. I wonder if I turn the cannon around, perhaps that can make me go faster. And that worked beautifully. And while I was doing that, I found this spot on a bridge where if I hit it in the tank, like just head on, it launches the tank in the air. Then I had the bright idea, hey, maybe I can get some more boost out of the tank if I just keep firing the cannon, which I did. And it carried me clear across the map in that cinematic slow motion camera, just bow, bow, flying through the air in a tank. It was awesome. It was like one of those moments. Like I don't really know what it feels like to be the first person to discover or do something when it comes to video games or anything in life, but that was one of those moments where it's like, I have to be the first person who has done that. I might be the only person who has done that. So I would love to verify that one day, but that is by far my fondest PS2 memory. How about you, AMC?
Yeah, it's tough for me to remember. I just remember putting hours on the PS2, and because it was the console that I had in college, so that was my I don't know if high school would have been my peak. Damn, was that in college? Now I'm trying to remember. I feel like it was at least at the start of college, and then like PS3, yeah, would have been after, I think. But yeah, I remember having the PS2 and just playing the shit out of just a couple of games. I think Marvel's Capcom 2 at some point came out on the PS2, and I played the shit out of that. And I just putting in hours and hours. A lot of Final Fantasy, because I was into Final Fantasy 10X. I really enjoyed that one with was it Titus and Sen and all that. Waka.
Tidus
Yeah, Tidus.
and
Yeah. Waka, it was Waka the Blitzball dude.
It was Lulu in that one with all them belts?
I'm sure I remember. I remember, like, you got the homie with the big ass sword,
Aron, yeah.
It was,
With the Ronin arm and the kimono.
yeah, like that was, I mean, the last Final Fantasy game I would say I loved, or at least really enjoyed, was Final Fantasy 12. I really enjoyed Final Fantasy 10 just because that was in the hate. That was like my, like, oh, Final Fantasy is the shit. Like going from the PlayStation 1 to PS2 era. And yeah, so I just remember Final Fantasies. That was like kind of my last loves of Final Fantasy was within the PS2 generation. So I think that will be my biggest takeaway of that era was just like loving those, like, it was just a different era of like just enjoying video games. And I wasn't really online at that point, so like I would just buy games and just enjoy them. And I think another thing I'd throw in there, I believe X-Men Legends, Age of Apocalypse or whatever it was, I believe that was on there. That was the top-down isometric Diablo style X-Men game. That was the first of its kind, and I remember that was my shit. Like that's what like would later lead to like what Marvel Ultimate Alliance and all the other games that would spin off. But yeah, X-Men was the OG one, and I believe that was on PS2. And that was I put so much into that game because I loved X-Men, and I believe I got into Diablo 2 around that time, so I was familiar with that isometric loot dropping scenario. And then on top of that, you got X-Men characters, so that was everything for me. That was everything. So yeah, those are my big, at least that come to mind on the spot. Those are my big takeaways from the PS2 era. But
I
do you
got
have anything
one
else? Oh
more. I got
yeah.
one more PS2 era memory. It's not so much a fond memory as it is a defining moment in my development as a gamer, as the gamer I am today. And it's God of War 2. So I played the original. I loved it. It was outstanding, challenging, original. And God of War 2 came along. I was super pumped to get into it. Like maybe a little too much because I believe I got the game. I played it over just two long sessions, and I got through the entire game in like a weekend, and I felt so empty and unfulfilled after that experience. So in order to make games last longer, in order to also make myself better at playing games to get a greater challenge and a greater sense of like accomplishment and the feeling of victory was the game. And that was the weekend when I decided that I would play all games on hard at minimum. And ever since then, like I've been spending a lot more time with games and, admittedly, a lot of that time is just failing repeatedly and
Getting
coming back and
good.
like getting good, just eating my L's so that I can get these dubs. And yeah, man, it's ever since then I've just been tearing through games on higher difficulties and just enjoying them on a more intimate level because I have that foundation of failure that props up the success, and the time that I'm spending is time spent learning and sharpening my skills rather than just getting through it because it's below my capabilities. Like because of that decision, I've more greatly enjoyed the process of being introduced to new mechanics, learning how to utilize them, learning how to push at the boundaries of what is possible or intended, and just to really get the most out of my gameplay experiences, just no matter what I play. So, I could go on and on about all the things that I enjoyed and all the things that I learned about myself, about gaming during the PlayStation 2 era. But who knows? Maybe I'll write a book or something. I don't know.
Pathaneo, was that a PlayStation 2?
Yep. Path of
Jesus.
Neo, Max Payne
Spider
2, Fall of Max
Spider-Man,
Payne,
the open world
Spider-Man
Spider.
2.
Open World Spider-Man, that was PS2. Oh my
Fighting Doc Ock on the train.
God. Jet Li
Oh.
Rise to Honor, that PlayStation
Goddamn
2.
right.
Oh my gosh. So many games. So many great games. Oh yeah, that now it's all coming back to me. Yeah. Oh, that was it. That was it. So that would have been like, and that is right, because that would be around college age, which means that would have been also around the time like gaming at Knees's. So yeah, that all makes
Yep.
sense, because those are all Knees, gaming at Knees games. So that makes
Yeah.
total sense. PS2, that was the era. That was the era.
And then like that transition into the beginning of the PlayStation 3 generation. Oh man. But
Yeah.
like Motor Storm and if I could the original Uncharted. So good. Ratchet
Oh,
and
that's
Clank.
right. Yeah, that's right. Oh man. Yeah, I keep thinking that Uncharted. I keep thinking that's like a PlayStation 2 game. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah.
Resistance
Yeah.
kills him.
Yeah.
Kills him too. Oh my gosh.
R.I.P.
Yes.
Yeah. I think God of War was
Mandarins.
yeah, I'd say one last thing. You mentioned God of War too. I think God of War, that was the only one I played until the recent iterations of God of War. But God of War, I believe, was like one of the first console games where I saw titties and I was like, what? Like, from that, I was like, oh, we're doing this. All right. Like, all right. God of War. So, yeah, that's what I remember about God of War and QuickTime events. That was a big deal.
Nice.
QuickTime events
And
were, I think, like, I think that was like a defining thing of the PlayStation generation, PS2 generation as well.
one of the first things in the crosshairs of hatred once online really got going. Hey, cute time events, man. Yeah. Memories, dude.
Yeah, that's all I got. You got anything else, Ada, before we get out of here?
I'm all out, my good man.
All right, well, this is Control Issues. I am the AMC.
Control issues!